بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, with the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will try to ponder upon a new chapter of the Quran, chapter 80, Surah Abasa. And it's a Makki surah. And you can tell by the quickness and the shortness of its verses, as we mentioned earlier. The general theme of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal is gently admonishing His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something that he had done. And then Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the people who reject His message and gives them eye-openers for them to ponder upon where they were created from, what will happen to them after they die. Then Allah Azza wa Jal shows us again and again His endless favors and blessings, the food we eat, the water we drink, and the cattle we use. And then Allah Azza wa Jal finally reminds us of the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, when the people would be divided into two types, people of paradise, may Allah make me and you among them, and people of hellfire. Now, there is something that is called Asbabun Nuzul, the reasons of revelation. Scholars usually use this as part of the sciences of the Quran because it tells them about the time. It tells them about the event and the circumstances around it. And usually we have a rule that the cause is more important than the event itself. And therefore, when we have a particular event that took place at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore it was revealed upon him a particular verdict, this event is important, but it is not as important as the general verdict is. So no one would come, for example, and say that this particular ayah was revealed in that particular event, and we cannot cascade it to our lives and to different aspects of the religion. This is totally wrong. Al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafz, la bi-khusus al-sabab. What counts is the general ruling, the wording themselves, not what it was specifically revealed for. So, for example, and this is applied to the hadith, by the way. When we come to the surah of Al-Mujadala, when a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained, what are you complaining of? She said, I've been with my husband for so many long years, and I gave him everything. I took care of his kids. And now, after becoming this old, last night, he was angry with me, and he said a statement which translates roughly to, you are forbidden for me as the back of my mother, which metaphorically means that as my mother is forbidden for me to have sexual relationship with, you are like my mother. So this means that he made her forbidden for himself. So the Prophet said, alayhi salam, this is divorce. So she is complaining. She is arguing with the Prophet ﷺ. How could that be? So Allah revealed these beautiful verses, the very beginning of Surah Al-Mujadilah, chapter 58, stating that Allah Azza wa Jal has heard her voice and her complaint, and Allah gave the verdict. And we know the verdict is that whoever says such a word, then he is instructed to free a slave. If not possible, then to fast two consecutive months if not possible, to feed 60 poor people in order to expiate for that. So if one comes and says, okay, this ruling is for that particular companion and his wife, because this ayah or set of ayat were revealed for them, we say no. The general rule is that we apply the general wording and verdict rather than specifying it to be for that particular individual. So this is what asbabun nuzul is, the cause or the reasons of revelation. And when we come to this surah, chapter 80, surah Abasa, we find that the cause of its revelation was that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Mecca was with a number of the dignitaries of Quraysh, the idol worshippers. He was with Utbah, Washaybah, the sons of Rabi'ah. He was with Ubay ibn Khalaf, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Abu Jahl, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. And these dignitaries, famous people, so powerful, so influential. The Prophet's idea was, alayhi salatu wasalam, that if I can manage to call these to Islam and they would accept it, then this would help spreading the word of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the intention was excellent. Now, while he was at that, trying to put all his effort in calling these dignitaries to Islam, a blind man came. And this blind man, Ibn Maktum, Abdullah ibn Maktum, came to the Prophet alayhi salam. Being blind, he could not know who the Prophet ﷺ was addressing. He did not ask for permission. He just barged in and said, Prophet of Allah, tell me about Allah, guide me, show me the way. And the Prophet did not look at him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He kept on trying to persuade the dignitaries of Mecca. And the man was persistent, continued to ask the Prophet ﷺ to guide him. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did a natural thing, a human thing. Because in his calculations, what I was doing is much greater than attending the needs of this blind man. So, watch how carefully the Quran describes this. The Prophet ﷺ did not say any bad words to that blind man. If I were in his place, I would at least had gone to that blind man and said, listen, are you crazy? Can't you see that I'm in a very important meeting, that I'm talking to the heads of states, and you're coming and barging in like this, asking me to guide you, to give you some hidayah, to recite verses of the Quran? Can't you take an appointment? I would at least be a bit harsh with him, so that I would show these dignitaries that, listen, I'm doing something good for you. I'm respecting you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not do any of this. All what he had done was to frown, abasa. And a blind man cannot see this. And it shows you how Allah Azza wa Jal wants his messenger to be so perfect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that he would not do something that even a blind man could not see. The Prophet did not say anything offensive. He just frowned, which means that, O Muhammad, I want you to perfect yourself to the extent that even the frowning, which no one would sense and feel, you would not do that. So even the blind man, you should smile in his face. Subhanallah. If we compare apple to apple, if we compare how we treat others, offensively, abusively, using profound means of expressing our hatred and anger and disgust, it shows you that we are so far away. We are millions of light years away from being close to our Prophet's, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, morality and behavior. Allah the Almighty revealed the surah to softly tell his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to gently admonish him by saying, you should not have done this. And had the Quran been written by the Prophet والسلام, do you think he would mention anything like this? By Allah, he would not. Because he would only show the perfect and the good things, but not such incidents. We have a short break, so stay tuned. And inshallah, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So now we know why this surah was revealed. What is the reason behind that? Now, there are surahs or verses of the Quran that have a specific reason. So we know that. But the majority of the verses revealed to the Prophet ﷺ and the surahs had no specific reason or an incident or an event. But it was a general instruction. This one had a specific reason. And if you ponder upon it, if you look at it, you would find that Allah Azza wa Jal treats His Messenger in the most delicate way. Because he is the most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at these three things that the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Abasa wa tawalla. Abasa wa tawalla. Anja'ahu al-a'ma. In these two verses, Allah Azza wa Jal is softly and gently admonishing His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but not directly. See, if Allah would have said, oh, you Muhammad have frowned and you have turned your back, that the blind man came to you, that would have been harsh. But Allah Azza wa Jal used the third person to address this issue in the first two verses, so it would be soft on the Prophet alayhi wasallam. So Allah said, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. He frowned and turned away. Who's he? The Prophet alayhi wasallam. But Allah is revealing this to the Prophet, not addressing him yet. So the Prophet frowned and turned his back to Ibn Ummi Maktum. أَنْجَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. Why did he do this? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah says, because there came to him the blind man. And that was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Ummi Maktum. May Allah be pleased with him. So now, Allah is saying this in the third person. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Now, he addresses the Prophet directly by saying, but what could tell you that perchance he might strengthen his iman? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. يَزَّكَّى from الزَّكَات. And this needs no further explanation because we spoke about it. Zakat is to grow and to become more, and it's a means of purification. And that is why zakat of your money is purification of your wealth. If you don't give zakat, your wealth needs cleansing. And Allah Azza wa Jal does that for you by giving 2.5% of your savings of a whole year in charity. Don't give it to me. Like some deviant sects give their money to their scholars or to their mullahs. No, you look for poor people. It's between you and Allah. Give it to them. So, what do you know, Muhammad? This man may be guided to increase his iman. This man whom you frowned in his face, though he could not see you, and turned your back to, though he could not feel that, you don't know. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jal would put the light in his heart and he would see what those who see are blinded from seeing. أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. Or that he might receive a reminder and that the reminder might benefit him. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the Prophet ﷺ, and of course this order cascades down to us all, that فَذَكِّرْ, that we are supposed to remind people. We do not have the power to guide people. Because guidance is divided into two types. Guidance of teaching and directing, and this is in the hands of each and every one of us. But the second type of guidance is in the hands of Allah, and this is the guidance of acceptance and compliance. So when Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, verily, O Muhammad, you guide to a straight path. In another verse, Allah says, you do not guide those whom you love, but it is Allah who guides whom He wishes. Here, Allah says, you guide, and here Allah says, you do not guide. Quran doesn't contradict with each other. It moves perfectly side by side. So how do we understand this? We understand that you guide to a straight path, meaning that you show the people and you illustrate it to them that this is the straight path. But the second verse means that you do not guide whom you wish or you love, because this is in Allah's hands. Nuh had a kafir wife and a kafir son, though he had spent 950 years calling his people to Islam. But Allah did not guide his wife nor his son. So it wasn't his mistake. He did what he had to do. And that is why we say, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot force it to drink. And that is why you, Muhammad, have to remind. You, Muslims, have to remind others. But this is all what you can do. You cannot force them to accept the truth. You can only display it for them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal moves on to show the Prophet ﷺ the difference between the two groups, the elders, the dignitaries, the most influential people of Quraysh, and this blind man. Allah says, أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى, as for him who thinks himself self-sufficient. Take a good look at these disbelievers, these idol worshippers. Are they seeking the truth? The answer is definitely not. It is you who went to them. Had they wanted the truth, they should have come to you. So they think that they're self-sufficient. Their arrogance prevents them from accepting the truth. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, such people who think themselves to be self-sufficient, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّ أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّ, to him you confront and attend. Why? وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى, what does it matter to you if he will not become pure? Which means that this is not your sin. This is not your burden if he does not accept Islam. You find people spending a lot of their time, their effort, on individuals, calling them to Islam. And these individuals hate the guts of Islam. They hate the guts of the Muslims. Yet you still try your best. You send questions to scholars. He said this and that. How should I reply to him? He does not want to listen to me. He closes the doors. I tried so many times. He doesn't accept my calls. He doesn't take my gifts. What should I do? It's the same thing. أما من استغنى, those who think that they are self-sufficient. فأنت له تصدى, to him you confront and attend. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى, what does it matter to you if he will not become pure? This is not your job. Your job is to give him da'wah. But if he doesn't, leave him. Then Allah moves again and again to reiterate the importance of attending those who want to know the truth. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى, but as to him who came to you breast walking. He didn't come just, you know, dragging his feet, as they say. He came to you brisk walking, wanting enthusiasm to know, to learn, to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So in comparison, those who think that they're self-sufficient, and he who comes to you brisk walking and wanting to learn, not only that, وَهُوَ يَخْشَى, and he fears Allah the Almighty. So he comes to you in fear of Allah. And we know that there are three things that you require to have in order to reach Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to be in the state of love, hope, and fear. You have to love Allah Azza wa Jal. Without loving Allah, Allah will not accept anything from you. And you have to have the fear and hope. The fear from Allah's wrath and the hope in Allah's forgiveness and mercy. And the scholars say that this is like the head of a bird and his two wings. The head is Allah's love. If you chop it off, the bird dies. And if you don't have love for Allah, you're not a believer. And the fear and the hope are the wings. They have to be equal. If the fear is more, then the bird would not fly normally. And if the hope is more, then the bird, again, would not fly normally. So this man comes to you, brisk walking, he's interested, he's all for it, and he fears Allah Azza wa Jal. What do you do? فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَحَى. Of him, you are neglectful and divert your attention to another. Now this is what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal gently admonishes him and telling him that this is not befitting for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Azza wa Jal is putting the Prophet alayhi salam back on track, and he's giving us a lesson to learn. And this is what pondering upon the Quran would be. How do we behave with people? Instead of wasting your time and effort on an individual or on a group of people who mock Islam, who make fun of Islam, who make fun of you, you still insist on giving them da'wah. No, don't. You gave it to them. They don't want it. Forget them. Move on to people who run after you, who want you to teach them, who are seeking the truth. I'd spend the same amount of time with 10 times the amount of people who accept whatever I say to them. This is what the Prophet ﷺ did, and this is how Allah Azza wa Jal gently brought him back to track. There are a number of lessons to be learned, but I'm afraid that we come to the end of this episode. So until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.